Hello and welcome to Don't Evolve, Beat the Place like Ash Ketchum and Pikachu. We don't evolve, we just level up. Here with Meme Don McNuggies, here to talk Superman, and we are doing spoiler talk, all spoilers.
Immediately.
We're getting into it right away. What happened? There's two pages of this, so brace yourselves. Screen crawl. Three centuries ago, metahumans arrived. 3 decades ago, Superman arrives. 3 years ago, wait, no. 3 years ago,
Messed up
Superman
already.
arrives. Again, 3 weeks ago, Superman arrives in a different country to stop them from dying. And then 3 hours ago, Superman arrives to lose.
His
Begin
first
movie.
battle.
Then 3 minutes ago, he lost.
Was it 3 minutes
Yeah.
ago?
It was,
Yep.
3 hours ago he arrived to his for the battle, and then
Okay.
3 minutes ago
He
he
lost his
lost
first
his
ever
first
fight.
fight.
To be fair, the recap that I helped to make this recap also didn't have this information, so there was a lot in the screen crawl.
First off, that opening, very Star Wars-esque, the very white. It was kind of neat. Anyway,
They
but
did
anyway,
say
we'll get past the opening.
it was going to be Star Wars-esque. I was expecting like a, and we just kind of got
Yeah,
like
but it.
info.
First of all, yeah, that's all the info you needed for Superman. No one's like, "Oh my gosh, how was Superman
I
created?" So I was
really
like,
wish they would have made a
"I'm in,
30.
perfect."
I really wish they would have made a
No.
30-minute music video with all the information on the screen that we need to know about the character,
Oh, like
personally.
Peacemaker? Do the same Peacemaker
No.
stuff? That would've been great.
No, I meant
The
like the
Peacemaker
original
intro.
Suicide Squad.
You turn on Peacemaker, you have to watch the intro. It's just a thing. It's just
Oh yeah, it
gotta happen.
is.
Gotta happen.
All right.
But anyway.
Superman calls for Krypto. Krypto drags him to the Fortress of Solitude. In the Fortress of Solitude, the automatons play the message to
Whoa.
soothe him, which is Jor-El and what?
What about the dog and the argues with the dog for like 15 minutes because the dog's a shitty
Dude, we
dog?
got so much to get into. The
Oh,
dog
sorry.
drags
Continue.
him.
You told me to jump in whenever.
Yes.
My bad. This
That's
will be like
fair. That's
50
fair.
pages.
That's fair.
Sorry, guys.
They play the message of Jor-El. There's a lot of different voices as the robots. One wants to be named Gary. That's for later. They begin to heal Superman with sunlight. He goes back to Metropolis. He faces off against the Hammer of Arabia and pretty much gets his ass kicked again. It's
Again.
revealed that this Hammer is Ultraman, who is more or less controlled by Lex, who studied all of his moves. They had all 2,000 combinations memorized and ready to go with counter actions.
Sounds like Jake,
After.
my ex-wife. Anyway,
Okay,
just
I'm
kidding.
just gonna leave
Keep
that
going.
go. He gets his ass beat. The hammer goes off and flies into a tent in a base fairly close by Metropolis that no one seems to notice. Lex meets up with the government from Argus
What about the
with.
pocket universe? This is the first time we get to see the
Where?
pocket universe. We get to see him fly away, and then all of a sudden he
Oh.
jumps through a pocket portal. And you're like, what? Dude, he created these universes. I didn't mean to
I
spoil
call
something
them
in the face.
boom tubes.
Boom tubes, better. Yeah, I was going to say, they're definitely boom tubes.
That was my first thought. I was like, boom tubes. They
Or
didn't
zip
call it, but
zaps, you
that's what
know?
it is. Boom
It is a
tubes,
boom tube.
man. Gotta keep it original. Keep it Young Justice. All right, so there's definitely an argument going on with Argus. Rick Flag is there from Creatures Commandos. He's going to be in Peacemaker as well. Arguing Superman getting involved with Barabia and talking the politics, all about that. Lex makes it known that he hates metahumans, but he especially hates Superman. Not really giving much more reason outside of that, other than he just hates them. I mean, we get it later on, very clear cut in the writing, but yes. Clark goes to his job where he meets with the Daily Planet gang. We see Lois, Jimmy, Perry, Cat Grant, and Steve Lombard. And if you watch My Adventures with Superman, that whole team and all the personalities is in this movie. Like, it's almost copy and paste. Like,
Copy
it's
and
pretty.
paste. It is.
There's a lot
It's
of copy
great.
and paste in this movie with like Superman stuff from everywhere. And James Gunn's been very like open about that. He's like, oh yeah, I got that idea from Smallville. Oh yeah, I got that idea from like
Yeah, whatnot.
Luther Corp is like from Smallville, but usually it's like Lex Corp in the
Yeah.
comics, which is like one of the changes.
But it makes more sense with Luther Corp in the natural world. But yes.
Yes.
In Small World, he changes it. Or Small World, Smallville, he changes it to LexCorp after he takes over from his dad.
Yes. I forgot about that. Thank you, Brandon.
Yeah.
All right. Clark surprises Lois with a date night, and we kind of reveal that Lois already knows that Clark is Superman. They interview each other, and Clark gets very emotional over the idea of saving people over bureaucracy. Lois kind of gets on him for crossing the red tape and all the consequences that come with it. And they kind of get an argument where they leave off, and Lois says something. Oh, yeah. No, hashtag super shit.
Yeah, super shit.
Lex, Ultraman, and Engineer go into the Fortress of Solitude and finds evidence to use against Superman while destroying all the robots and dognapping Krypto.
First of all, did that scene, how in the hell did they get in there? Because I was like, that was way too fucking easy when I was watching that. I was like, all right, they better explain this. But I was like, man, he got it too easy. Something's up. What's going on?
Clone of Superman.
That's weird.
I mean, they did. Yeah. Hey.
In order, man.
What? Yeah, calm down on their demon.
You already called him Brandon. Ultraman. I mean, that's everyone knows.
They show it in that scene, and it's Ultraman.
Yeah, okay, guy. Continue.
You might as well just say he's Bizarro. Come on now.
Oh, we don't know that.
While Lex is busy with his goon, or while Lex is busy at the Fortress of Solitude, his goons let out a monster that very quickly turns into a kaiju. Like, literally, next scene. Superman showcases his thought process as he's fighting this monster, as in look up. He aims high so that all the fire-breathing kaiju is aiming upwards. All the attacks are going upwards. He's very, it's very not Man of Steel. In the sense of perfect. Superman's
the way you want. All right, Superman to be. He's thinking as he's fighting this guy. How do we get it so it doesn't harm the least amount of people? Tips over. You know, he's trying to push it certain directions, stuff like that. Thinking of the way, how do we get this thing out of the area? Keep it safe, still not kill it so gruesomely.
I absolutely
didn't want to kill it at all. He wanted to bring it to a zoo.
Yeah,
or something.
It was phenomenal.
They wanted to phenomenal study him. Scene. Yeah. And I love this frustration. Come on, with Mr. Terrific killing him right away. He's like, this is not what I wanted. I wanted to try to save him and not kill him. And I'm like,
eye poker.
Yeah, the eye pokers. Yeah, both of them. They're all in. Green Lantern eye poking.
The Justice Gang, as we talked about, shows up, kills the monster against Superman's dismay as the city cheers.
Names in progress, by the way. We're not sure.
In progress. It sounds like they're going for it. I didn't see this part. I had to go to the bathroom. As the city cheers, and this was the worst part. I thought Kaiju's done. Good time. Nope. The video gets played. Jor-El actually, and Jor-El parents, they wanted Superman to conquer. Mr. Terrific then confirms it wasn't doctored.
It was real,
as far as we know. I'm sure that'll come up in a future movie. Superman takes a break, and Justice Gang has to take on an intergalactic imp. And while he does so, he has a very close connection with Lois, and there is the poster that we were like, who is that green monster in the background, and why is Superman not that worried about it? Well... he was taking a break. It was handled. Also, intergalactic imp, Brandon.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know. Mr. Mixopolix.
You used to be really good at saying his name. How are you struggling? Yeah, I remember you being very good at it.
I've been up for a long night, or a long time.
You struggled last video, too.
Yeah.
Mixopolix. You gotta slap him up.
Yeah. Mixopolix. It's Mixel Piddalick.
Yeah. I don't know if it was him because it doesn't look like him, but when they say intergalactic imp, I'm like, I know what they're doing. I know what they're hinting here. Also, James Gunn really likes, I'm pretty sure he is a big fan of Mr. Mixelplex, but I know Batmite's his favorite, which is literally the same thing, more or less. Peacemaker makes an appearance and he disses Superman. Superman confronts Lex about Krypto missing because he just goes in.
You missed the whole important scene about where he says, I love you, Lois. After the breakup little scene, he goes and says, I love you. It's cute. It's romantic. You feel it. But then she backs away. It doesn't say word. Just fair like enough. I did with my ex-wife.
You good?
Yeah, I'm good. I got myself. It's all good. Continue.
Okay.
He's got four pages now, guys. My bad.
I'm almost at the end of the first page.
Oh, Jesus.
There's so much in this movie. All right, yeah. Superman goes into the Lex's office, confronts him, a crypto-missing Lex denies everything. Superman then surrenders to the U.S. government. Rick Flag Sr. then gives him to Lex, who imprisons him in a pocket dimension via Boom Tube. We get to see a lot of people in prison, including, you know, Lex's ex-girlfriends. We get to see Metamorpho, who is then being threatened with the death of his son, Joey. Who his son is like right across from a guy ready to kill his son. Very Lex is a really of a he's a shit person.
Well, I mean, like, obviously, he's a pretty shitty person.
Oh yeah,
I like how they played Lex though. Lunatic. I do.
Eve, Lex's current girlfriend, calls Jimmy to leak info to him. Lewis recruits the Justice Gang, knowing that Superman's been taken, and the rest. While the rest refuse, Mr. Terrific helps out. Luther threatens Malik, a local who helped Superman in the pocket dimension in order to get Superman to comply and answer his questions. Ends up killing Malik within two rounds of a twisted Russian roulette threat. And honestly, that was kind of shocking. That was like 1-2. And I'm curious if like
James Gunn.
Okay, go for it. I know there was crypto.
So Lois goes to the Justice Gang to ask for help, but no one wants to help him. And then they find out that she knows Lex Luthor because Superman is. They ask about the glasses, and they finally say it for the longest time of how no one knows that it's Clark Kent. I was like, finally! I thought everybody knew this, but apparently it was a big deal. Like they put the glasses on, but anyway, the hypno glasses. He puts them on. They can't see who he is. Big deal. Anyway, sorry. I thought it was a big deal.
I don't buy it. I feel like it's just a rumor, honestly, that Mr. Terrific made up. That's how I bought it. That's how I bought that scene.
Oh, dude, they're real.
I mean, I know it's a comic thing. Yeah. I don't know if it's true or not, like in the movie, though. I'm kind of with Jake on this one. I think it might have been like a joke.
It's got it. No.
Because, like, Lois was just like, yeah, sure. Whatever you say, Guy Gardner.
Or maybe she's heard of the joke.
Oh, right. Yep. All right. I lost my spot here. Metamorpho.
Super important.
No, you're good. Metamorpho, after witnessing all of that, starts crying. It's like, can you get my son if I let you go? Sure enough, very much, he saves his son. And then they fall into the weird river that takes you into a black hole.
Proton stream or something they call it.
Yeah,
and like Superman was struggling. He had to like fight the guards while keeping the baby up and floating.
Missed the point where Metamorphosis gave him the sun power to even save the child. So he's very, very weak. He's got like limited sun power. It's not a full yellow sun.
Yes. Thank you for that. I did forget that moment. All right. Lois, Mr. Terrific, make their way into the pocket dimension camp. Mr. Terrific, very terrifically, takes out everybody in a really cool scene. They go into the boom tube. Couldn't really go far without the platform. But they were able to kind of keep it open while Crypto, Superman, Joey, and Metamorpho eventually escape. Lois brings Superman to home, to Smallville. His pa and ma give him a pet talk, mostly his pa. Luther goes ballistic that Superman escapes. It was a good talk. It was. I'm skipping over a lot, but there's so much to get through. I know.
I get it. It's good.
Keep filling it in. I spent like 30 minutes like going over this little section. Like there's a lot.
Like two pages. There's a lot of stuff. It's okay. It's a lot of stuff in this movie.
Luther goes ballistic that Superman escaped. Eve completely flips, gives all the info to Jimmy, but is heard by Ultraman, which I'm pretty sure is the only time where the super hearing was in play, which is something that I noticed. Lois and Jimmy got to work exposing Lex's crimes. Lex opens a rift in Metropolis because I forget the reason why, but he's just like, we're going to send him, we're going to send Eve
back.
Well,
he opens the rift so he can get Superman to come towards the rift.
Oh, right.
Because he knew he would lure Superman in. That's the only way he could defeat him, because he knew how to defeat him. So he's like, okay, if I open the rift, Superman's got to be here.
Good point. Good point. Yep. Which opens up the rift, and then Metropolis just starts kind of falling or separating and falling, and buildings are falling apart. It's pretty horrific, honestly. Reminds me of Man of Steel. We'll talk about it. The Barovian army starts to attack, and the Jarhanpur people ask for Superman and start chanting for Superman in a really cool scene. Superman has to make a choice which emergency he's going to go to. First, he's going to go to Barovia, but then Mr. Terrific calls him, like, we need you for this rift because the world's at stake. We learn, once he gets there, that Ultraman is a clone of Clark Kent.
Ultraman's a clone?
He's a clone. Also, I'm pretty sure I called it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I did. I kind of went into it just feeling like that was.
Oh yeah, we all knew. Well, as soon as they got in the cave, I was like, "Oh, you sons of guns!"
Oh, I knew like kind of immediately. Also, he's just Black Noir.
Mm.
Oh, that's what it looks like. 100% Black Noir.
Like Black Noir from the comics, evil clone version of.
Yeah, and probably the current second version, probably. Boys, spoiler.
Yeah.
Black Noir, yeah. I mean, Superman's clone was a real character, so you're talking about Black Noir, which is supposed to be a trope off, you know, Homelander, in trope off Superman, so.
It kind of brought it full circle back by them referencing with the outfit.
Well, actually, I was watching a TikTok where somebody used the Superman, like, noise, and they did it the same, like, theme as, like, Invincible. Like, they're like, oh, it's, and then they play the sound instead of the name, and it's like, good job on Robert Kirkman. You know, originally they blamed Invincible for being like a Superman clone, but now they are taking Invincible's thing and copying it on the Superman. Like, good for Robert Kirkman and that show, because, yeah, and also good for the boys. Black Noir is now in the Superman movie. You guys are influencing the main lore, the main meta. Good work. All right. So the goons nearly in this giant battle in the baseball field and in the rift, the goons, Ultraman and the engineer nearly kill Superman, where he has to go all the way up in the sky, fall all the way down, and then get the nanites out of his lungs. Krypta joins in. And that plays a huge factor. It's now Superman and Krypta versus engineer and Ultraman. Superman kills the drones, which shows Lex the image, and basically, you know, he's the one that's controlling.
Krypto took out the drones.
Oh, yes. Superman. Yes. Yeah, well, he...
And the engineer was taken out by the fall.
Yes. Thank you.
Did you even watch the movie?
I did.
You went to the bathroom so many times. With you.
I admit, only once I missed two scenes, the second post-credit scene, because, you know, I had Scott with me, and I couldn't, he's like, I had to really go, and I'm like, I'm not going to make you sit through 10 minutes of credits if they're only going to show.
I didn't wait either. I know. I don't think that that's what this DC Universe is going to rely on, hopefully.
It's not at all.
The second, you guys know what it is? Because it was hilarious.
I saw what it was, and I was like, I don't really want to sit here and wait 10 minutes to see that little clip.
Alright, Superman kills, or Krypto kills the drones with Superman's orders, and ultimately beats Ultraman. The Daily Planet exposes Lex. The Justice Gang, alongside Metamorpho, fight the Barovian army with a bunch of middle fingers. Green projected middle fingers, Metamorpho being really cool looking, and Hot Girl screaming in hallways, and then seemingly killing the Barovian leader to the death in a really cool way, but also in a way where, like, is Hot Girl that?
Yeah.
Is she that? Is she like someone who would do that? I'm like, she's close. I think. I have a question.
Is that what Superman would have wanted? That's what
But, like, real world. Counter person, or like the, you know, the person that we think it implies to real world, like, oh, you know what, whatever, yeah, We'll just leave it at that. All right. Superman bursts into Lex's office with a noble speech about how he's just a human, just like everybody else. Lex admits all of his jealousy and is all totally aware of it, and pretty much explains that his whole motive of wanting to kill Superman and hating the fact that he's better, and that he wants to prove that brawn or his brain beats brawn. And very Lex Luthor. Crypto then jumps in and he pulls a Hulk on Lex and throws him along like he's Loki. Lex is sent to jail, specifically Belrive. Superman returns to the Fortress of Solitude. Flora asks to be called Gary. Pa and Ma Kent are now shown instead of Jor-El. And Mom, I forgot what the mom's name is, and I feel bad.
Martha.
No, not Martha. Martha. Not Ma. Jor-El and what's the... See, I don't feel as bad.
Actual mom's name. I don't know what that is. No one remembers the mom's name.
No, don't say no one. It's prominent.
Someone probably does.
Jor-El is just the kind of the leading figure of the both. I think it's like Lor-El. Jor-El and Lor-El?
Maybe. I'm not going to commit to that.
Supergirl arrives into the movie, reveals that she's actually Krypto's true owner, and they're like, oh, that makes sense why Krypto's such a bad dog.
Just like spinning her around on the ground.
And she's just laughing, drunk, enjoying it.
Laughing, having a good time.
Yeah.
And this is like, this is the post-credit scene that, this isn't a post-credit scene, but this is kind of like the scene that really sets up the DCU moving forward in ways that we will talk about, because I read that comic and I knew exactly what they were referring to when she showed up. So Clark going to the post credits, Clark and Krypto are on the moon. Very happy scene. And then the second one that I didn't see, but from what I read, Superman criticizes Mr. Terrific's repairman job. And Mr. Terrific is annoyed.
No, the buildings were off by like the most millimeter of a millimeter. And he's like, ooh, I think you messed up a little bit. And he's like, what, you want me to rip open the whole world again just to fix it? He's like, well, just saying, it's off.
All right. And that is what happened. All 22 all right. minutes and two pages. That is what.
That wasn't too bad.
You did it pretty fast. Yeah, you kind
of. You did pretty fast. You ripped through it a lot. I mean, there's a lot of some details that we'll probably have questions about that we've been talking about, but, you know,
yeah, that we'll kind talk of stuff. About it. All right. Next segment. Five questions to appease Michael.
But 15, really, to appease Michael.
Five questions per person to appease Michael.
Yeah.
If he watches this, I don't know. Or we could just go back to, I've got some questions. All right, I'm going to start this one off.
Oh, you're going to start this one off. Okay.
I'm going to start it off. I think I have a good start off with it. Did Superman the movie did enough to get you and other people excited for the DCU?
I mean, to be fair, I left the movie theater excited. I was like, finally, a good, uplifting Superman that isn't so dark and gritty. I mean, Superman was always fighting in the light. Superman had his funny moments. Superman, you know, you got to see him try to find out the best way to attack creatures. You've got to, you know, see a lot of humility with him, see him as like a human, see the bright side of him, see him with his parents. I don't know. That's like the first Superman movie where it actually felt like, hey, this is a good light-bringing feeling to Superman. And when they started chanting his name in Bolivia...
Barovia.
Yeah, whatever. Barovia. Like Bolivia. Same thing. Close enough. Anyway.
I say it was one of her.
Bolivia? Yeah. Right?
Bolivia.
One's whatever real, one's the not. Fake,
yeah, the fake town or whatever. Not town. Country. And seeing them cheer for Superman's name even though they, you know, backlogged him before. It was good to see him uplifting that feeling of hope. I actually kind of felt that in this movie. So yeah. I think so. I think it does enough. That's just my opinion, though.
Brandon.
I think a lot of the same stuff that Don said. I think it wasn't perfect exactly by any means, but I think it was what I wanted, and it was the most like comic book like movie that we've ever gotten. And it made me excited to see the potential for like stories and stuff when you kind of abandon some of the things that like Marvel and like the previous DCU like held on to so tight, like some of the groundedness or realism, and you kind of just embrace more of the goofy, the surreal. It can just let you do so much more, and I'm excited to see the future of that.
don't think I've ever been this excited for a movie, for a superhero movie, in maybe half a decade. Honestly, maybe since Endgame. The only other, like, maybe Spider-Man No Way Home is like the only other movie that matches that. Deadpool and Wolverine, there's a little bit of excitement just because, like, hey,
I did
Deadpool's coming back and Wolverine's coming back. But I'm like, Superman's like the first movie where I was like, this just feels like a decade ago where we got excited about going to Civil War. This feels like a
not.
decade ago when we got excited about going to Batman versus Superman before we knew that movie was trash. Like, this movie got me excited just to go and just see a brand new world. And that this world is very, like you guys said, comic book
Comic book
light.
light,
It looked.
and very much so not. This is like the first movie, I think, too, Jake, that isn't so character heavy focused on some of these characters we've seen a million times.
Oh, but the thing is, it was very character moment.
Oh, well, it was, but there wasn't like, we didn't need the exact backstory again and again and again for every
We
character we
didn't
saw.
slow down the plot for the characters, but
Yeah, that's what I
the
like.
characters, the character moments were put into the plot. We still got Lois and Clark having their moments. It wasn't necessarily needed for the plot, but it was there for like the emotional parts and beats of the story. And so there was a part of me that was like, this movie almost seems too quick. I almost wish they sort of slowed it down a little bit. But I also really just appreciate the go, 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 and giving us all that cool comic lore, that cool comic, that world that felt lived in. And just like, I'm excited to explore the DCU because they're looking at it like James Gunn is looking at it more as like a world building thing rather than I'm just going to tell the story of like what a superhero would be like in this world. The realism is gone. It's a new world. Right. Is any, does any of you have a question? Lead
About
off.
your
Yeah.
question. Oh.
I mean,
Oh,
mine's
I see.
kind of
We're gonna
with
alternate. Okay.
mine's kind of with your question is, do we believe in James Gunn? Yeah,
Oh yeah.
Peacemaker, we have Superman. Like,
Never stop
oh yeah.
believing in James Gunn.
Yeah, I
I
mean,
do
as
have
far as
one
directors
question
go.
for. I have a counterpoint. Do we believe James Gunn can get to that next level of storytelling? So,
I
and
think every
I'll
single
talk about it
comic
a little
book.
bit. Go for
I think every comic book thing he's done. So, Guardians of the Galaxy, we have some Peacemaker and getting hands involved in products in the Superman story. I
The
mean, he's got
Suicide
a
Squad.
good way to introduce comedy, things like that. Now, as far as to the absolute next level where he brings this whole overarching lore thing, I
Dark
think
Knight Logan level.
it might be possible. It depends how many hidden things you put in this movie, because that's what I'm curious to watch it again and again. Because I'm thinking there's more things behind the scene that we should probably pay attention to.
I mean, some people might
Maybe.
say Guardians 3 is close to that
Yeah,
same
at least
level.
three.
It is.
And he made that. So.
It's not, it's not, it's like, it's close, but it's like not there. It's like missing an intro for me. I rewatched Man of Steel, I rewatched Guardians of the Galaxy, I think the day of, for this movie. So I kind of get like, compare contrast. This movie does remind me a lot of Guardians of the Galaxy 3, just with it's really fast. It picks up immediately. You just dive in without that introduction. And I think sometimes, like, because I know it's with like Creatures Commandos, there wasn't an epilogue. And I'm like, I feel like we need a little bit more of those things to just kind of put it in completely. I do like James Gunn. When we talk about ratings, I'll get more into this because I think like James Gunn has a high floor for everything he does. He makes, I think everything has been great, like borderline great, that four minus level. That's where it's just, can he get to that five? Can he make like a masterpiece? Can he make that Infinity War, Endgame, Civil War, Winter Soldier, Logan, Dark Knight, into the
Justice League.
Spider-Verse? Well, yeah, potentially. But that's like the question. Can he make the ultimate comic book movie? He can get really close. But that is my question exiting the film. Like, Superman was like my idea of like, this movie almost needs to be here to like make it have a perfect success in being a five. But I think to answer my question, I think it did enough. All right, Brandon, you got one?
So mine's more specific to the like events of the movie than the overall movie.
Go for it.
But what do you think happened to all the kryptonite on Earth? Is Lex said that there wasn't any left, and they had to use Metamorpho in order to make it. Do you think?
Good question.
You think Batman's got some kryptonite hidden someplace?
No, oh, yes. I think Lex still has some hidden. He just told everybody there's none, or like it's kind of a hidden thing because Lex doesn't really ever go away with any of that. So
here's my opinion.
To like bring in a metahuman in order to simulate it, and then like go through all those hoops.
Break off a metahuman's arm.
Yeah, whereas if he just had kryptonite, I feel like it would have been easier just to like have one of his goons stand in there with kryptonite than have him hold somebody else at baby at gunpoint.
That's true.
Yeah. Here's my thinking. I feel like kryptonite is always supposed to be a limited source. It comes from Krypton. It comes from, you know, space. So what they have at Earth is what it lands in, like asteroids and meteoroids. So I'm assuming that either with Superman crashing there or Kara crashing there or some other meteorite crashing there, that's where it came from. They discovered it. They realized it affects Superman, but there just wasn't enough to fully use. And Lex probably, you know, used it all, or, you know, Bruce Wayne got some. I do think Batman has one. I think like if he's existing and he's playing Batman, like he's got one.
Hmm.
He's just
yeah,
not.
I mean,
maybe...
I think
I was just gonna say
it's hidden who has something. I think that's one of the hidden things.
Yeah.
Like in the movie that they talk about, it's like kryptonite. Like, I'm glad you brought that up too, because it's not one of my questions, but that's one thing I was thinking about was like kryptonite.
There's
no way it's gone. You don't have Superman without kryptonite, because that's the only thing that really, besides himself, I guess.
Well,
but,
and magic. He's weak to
magic. Yeah.
And also, he was kind of getting beaten like a little bitch this whole movie.
By himself.
Yeah.
That's like question of, can God make a boulder so big he can't lift it?
No.
Like, if Superman, if he's so strong, would he be able to hurt himself? Like, if he's strong enough to hurt anything, but he's invincible, can he hurt himself? The answer is yes.
Yep.
He can't hurt himself.
In this movie. Alright, is there a character that wasn't, like, on the money? Or a character you're like, I don't know about this character.
I think the portrayal of Hawkgirl was a little bit off. But, I mean, I'll allow it, because it wasn't that bad. But I was like, it's an interesting character. Interesting choices, like we talked about earlier a little bit. It's super young, and the attitude was a little bit different than like what I felt like when I would be
Justice League Unlimited. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only character that I really think was super off.
I feel like she got the least amount of time to like do anything.
That's true too.
Characters too.
Brandon, really, you have a different answer?
I don't know if I have anyone like sticks out in my brain as feeling off.
Okay, my answer to this was also Hawkgirl, Isabel Merce. She felt like herself in this movie. She reminded me of Dina from Last of Us Part 2 or Season 2, because that's just the character that she played. She's freaking excellent in that show, by the way. Also excellent is Dora. Like, I enjoy her as an actress. She just seems like a really cool person in general. But in this role, yeah, I was like, this isn't the Hawkgirl I imagine. Not that it needs to be a certain way, because the lore of Hawkgirl, you get reincarnated and oftentimes she has different personalities, plus she is younger. But the, you know, when she killed the Barabian guy or dropped him 100 feet plus, I was like, would Hawkgirl do that? That was like one I was questioning. Brandon, I'm curious you didn't say Lex at all. I was wondering if you would.
No, I really enjoyed Nicholas
Holt.
Okay.
He was really good.
Lex.
Yeah, I appreciated them cutting the what do you call it? The mystery or whatever of whether or not like he's a bad guy, and they just let us know like right off the bat
that yeah, he's bad.
He's a bad guy and he's all in, like his whole plan and everything, like 100% in already, instead of going through a whole long thing where it's like, is he actually bad? No.
I know you questioned a little bit. Like initially in the preview, because he seemed a little bit cartoonish. How does that work for you? Because this was like a very, he's pretty evil.
Yeah, I think cartoonishly evil at some points, definitely.
Yeah,
would say what it depends. Is. But I think it fit the vibes of the movie, though. I mean, it was very, I don't know, more comic booky. Well, to where like a more cartoonish character kind of fits the world, to be more exaggerated.
Yeah, looking at Lex, I was more thinking like in a somewhat of a real life scenario, you're creating like a whole other universe and stuff. How would this person actually be? I mean, if you read some other stuff, like that kind of fits. If you think of the diabolical things that that guy does, you're like, all right, that is about what I would expect.
I think we're just really used to the Justice League Unlimited version of Lex Luthor.
Quiet.
Where he's like more conservative. This Lex Luthor is not conservative. He's very aggressive. But I do really like how intelligent they made him. Like, just how smart. Like, he's, for an aggressive Lex, he felt like a really superior intellectual being. Like, he looked like the mental equivalent to Superman's Brawn. And that's honestly just, I don't know. I thought it was
that's really what Lex is, really.
We did like only ever see him in his own like private scenes, where he was like surrounded by people that like he let his guard down on. Like we saw the one scene with him talking with like the government or whatever, but otherwise we didn't see him like interact publicly or anything like that.
Ooh, this actually goes into my third question. Do we like a static Lex? A Lex that doesn't get an arc, who's just a bad guy through and through? Or were we expecting more of an arc with Lex Luthor?
No, I like a static Lex.
I think when you look at like the scope of what this movie really was, because like we wanted to say it was like the first Superman movie, but it wasn't. It was like the first DCU movie.
Yeah,
it had so much more like stuff that it had to fit in there and stuff. And I think trying to shoehorn in even more like character stories or stuff like that or whatever, like giving Lex more of an arc or making it would just make it even more stuffed than it already was. Like keep some of the stuff kind of simple and be able to like focus in more on the other things. Mm-hmm. And they already had so much exposition trying to set up the world.
I think the way I took it is I understood why we had a static Lex, but I was looking forward to a little bit of an arc with him.
Is more of an arc to Lex. You're going to get more, instead of the arc, like, is he good, is he evil? You're going to get more like, he's evil, but how does he become a better evil?
Mm-hmm.
You know, those more kinds of arcs, which I think it'd be more like, how does he change from this to become more like that diabolical Lex that you've seen in the past? I think you could just see that kind of arc, and I think that's kind of what they're aiming for.
Yeah.
And that's what it seems
potentially.
Like.
Potentially.
And that's what I would think. From that comic book's perspective, if you don't think Smallville out of count and all that kind of stuff, everyone, you know Lex Luthor is kind of like a big bad, like dark side and all that kind of stuff. So it's nicer to see a villain that's going to be a villain that we can all recognize. And maybe, I'm just saying maybe, I'm hoping James Gunn does this, is you get to see the how to become a better villain kind of arc.
Yeah. I expect we'll get that. I was just hoping for a little bit of an arc. I'm okay that we didn't get it. I understand it, but I'm like, I wish we would see a little bit more because I really enjoyed this version of the character. I just wanted like a little bit more like, why are you this bad? What got you here? I want to Odaize him. I want the backstory, man. I want to understand it.
You want this to be the second movie. The second Superman movie, and you want there to already have been a first Superman movie that came out that gave us all this extra backstory and stuff.
Yeah, maybe. Or just like...
Yeah.
I think in a lot of ways, mini movie, this movie does feel
Christmas version.
Like a sequel.
Can we get a Lex Luthor Christmas special?
God. Just like him as a kid. Like one bad Christmas where he decides, you know what? I hate aliens.
Can we just see him like locking up all of his pets? Like in kennels, like that's stacked up. And you're like, oh, that's where he gets his need to imprison everything that doesn't go his way.
Yeah, as long as they give us an extended scene where they explain where he got like his pen from or something like that.
Oh. All right, who's got the next one?
I do have the next question here for this. What do we think of David Crosnet? Porn Sweats. Performance as Superman.
I loved it. I thought it was great. I loved the switch between Clark and Superman. I really just... I liked his portrayal. He felt believable. He felt like he truly wanted to do good. I liked when he got upset. It was just a very believable, like, he was just frustrated at, like, Lois Lane. Or he's frustrated with Lex Luthor. Like...
Or the world sometimes too. When he tries to do good, you're like, "I'm trying to help you. Let me help you."
You know when he like, you want to know who he reminded me of a little bit? And Donald, you'll probably get this. Brandon, maybe not. He reminded me of Kirk Cousins, where he's like, "Ja, golly, hey!" Like he kept like, "Hey,"
yeah, he
like he kept like almost wanting to swear and then like not swearing. And I'm like, I fucking love this for Superman because that's like. It feels really realistic, but like he's a Boy Scout. He's not going to actually swear. Did you guys actually know during when they were filming the Lois and Clark interview scene that in the middle of it, Lois, they didn't say what she said, but she said a question that like got David Corenswet really like thrown off. And he literally in the middle of this interview, as he's filming, you know, filming to be Clark Kent, he told Lois the fuck you, like, fuck you. Oh, fuck you. Like in the middle of it. And apparently everyone's like, Superman doesn't say that. And then they cut it. Like, cut. All right, David, shut up. And apparently that's what James Gunn says to David. He's like, he doesn't take it personally. Just David, shut the fuck up. It's one too many questions. Yeah. It was just a fun story. Like David Corenswet got actually so upset during that scene that he told Rachel Brosnahan, fuck you. In the middle of filming. And I'm like, I love that. I love that the actor breaks, but like in the movie, we don't get it. He's just, jolly dang. Crypto, God, you're such a bad... He didn't say bad dog, though. I'm happy they didn't say bad dog, because that would have been like a repeat of... Because in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, that was Cosmo thing. Bad dog. But they did call Crypto a good dog at the end of the film. Which was a Cosmo beat. Like, oh, good boy, Crypto. I'm like, They're trying to. I see what he did there, but no, I like David Corenswet. He was really good. I almost want to say he's my favorite Superman, but I feel like it might be too soon. I'm going to let it sit a little bit before I give that
one movie. It's hard to see, but the wait.
He's better than Henry Cavill. I like Henry Cavill. I don't think he was that good in comparison.
Yeah, I don't know if it was necessarily Henry Cavill's fault that he wasn't that good.
I agree. It's the writing.
I think Henry Cavill is the only reason why that movie was remotely anything.
Henry Cavill, when he had the scenes to chew, he was good. He just never had any scenes to actually do anything because
they didn't let him do what he wanted to do.
He was just brooding the entire time. I'm like, that's not Superman. All right, Brandon, you're up.
All right. So how do you think Batman, how would you do it in with this universe, how it is? Like, how would you set up, like, your Batman movie?
I almost want to just be like, fuck you, Brandon. God damn, that's a good question.
That's an excellent question.
Okay. If I didn't respect Matt Reeves' wishes, I think Robert Pattinson's Batman would fit really well, and I think that would just make the most sense. To tell, like, I don't mind having two different stories, and I know that they're very different, but I would do that just for convenience. Now, if I respect Matt Reeves' wishes, how to bring Batman in the fold, I think you tell a Batman story where Nightwing or Robin, like, he already has a Robin. I would go Bat Family. I think that's the only Batman that really hasn't been told. Like, we've seen all the solo Batman films. We've seen him being solo. We've seen him being a one-man show. What is he like when he has to order around a teenager? What is he like with a Robin? What is he like with multiple Robins? What is he like with a Robin and a Batgirl? So it would be cool to just see him being kind of Bat-Dad and organizing this team and... You know, having more of a set team taking on Gotham, where maybe you have a Nightwing and then you have a Jason Todd. and then you have a Batgirl, and then like that's the team. Like that's how I would do it. I know he originally had a Damian Wayne, and I think that's fine because we haven't seen Damian Wayne. I'm okay with it. I'm okay switching the order of Robins and him being the first Robin, actually maybe second Robin, but more or less, that's what I would do. Bat family.
I think from the Batman perspective, I think it'd be cool to see the hero's perspective from the Batman's view, because we really didn't get to see these heroes in The Dark Knight and a lot of these other Batmans. But like say, the Bat family would be a good way to do it, but I think that outside perspective of all these metahumans, but how Batman, you know, is the human amongst the gods. And you get a feeling of that. So when he like somehow comes with bravado to when he does things with these people or when they meet him or their family or whatever, I think the bravado meetings with these gods where he can seem to hold his own with them, I think would be a really cool introduction to Batman. Instead of, you know, we know his backstory, you know all that stuff, but how does he play with the gods? I think would be the way to do this one.
Or the metahumans getting more
meta-humans,
of a...
But yeah, basically gods, but yeah, metahumans.
But like...
gods.
Was it Killer Croc? I'm trying to think. Mr. Freeze, even though he's not a metahuman, but like, you know, how do you deal with superpowers if you're Batman? I think that'd be really cool. Yeah. I think that'd be a dope villain. I like it.
You get to learn how he thinks about these powers and how he knows he's going to, you know, go into these situations.
How he sets his belt up, how he prepares for that moment, I think would be really cool. I don't know. I know James Gunn's been talking about Batman, and he's like, this is my biggest challenge. I don't know what Batman I want to bring. Like, I don't want to be too campy, but I also like wanted him to be serious, but we already have a serious Batman. Where does he fit in? I think Bat Family. I think that's just the answer. You know,
I think you're on the right track. I think, like, animated series Batman.
Yes.
Like, the animated series. I think that's the Batman we want to see.
Or like, Batman 2099 already, or whatever
already
it is.
Already, like, in his...
Beyond. Prime, Batman Beyond.
You know, like, living his life in Batman Beyond, eventually.
That's what we need.
But in his prime, that like same kind of style, like Gotham and everything like that, kind of like the more noir tones, I think. Not like super dark, but to have like more of the dark aesthetic instead of like relying on like super dark storylines and brooding.
Which costume does he get?
I want like animated series costume in real life.
Okay, so black and gray. Black and gray. Yeah.
Black and gray with the yellow and the weird symbol.
Yeah.
From...
Yeah.
I like the rebirth suit, but I also wouldn't mind like a gray and light blue with the yellow symbol. I wouldn't mind that classic Batman. Either way, I think James Gunn's got it.
Yeah, I am kind of sick of seeing Batman in power armor. I feel like we've gotten that a lot lately. Like, I want to see him in like more like traditional bat suits, relying on his own skills.
I agree.
Like Iron Man suits.
Do you want to see
Batman?
Him?
Beyond.
He's supposed to
That's
be a thick cool. Batman, by the way. This Batman's supposed to be thick. If Donald, did you watch Creatures Commandos?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember the outline of Batman?
Mm-hmm.
Thick Batman. I don't know who it's going to be.
Thick.
Like a mix of like Frank Miller's Batman and the animated series. Mm-hmm.
All right. Here's a question for you guys. What character in this movie deserves a solo film?
Supergirl.
Not Supergirl.
I see what you did there.
That's what I'm most excited to see.
Oh, I'm excited to see that movie, by the way.
Give us
a better Green
Lantern about Legion of Doom.
That too.
I have two. Okay, so I didn't put Guy Gardner on there because he's going to be in Lanterns. Like, he's got a spot.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for both Hal Jordan and John Stewart to be like, fuck you, Guy Gardner. I was rewatching the scene where I think it was Young Justice. They're like, all right, we need a person for the Justice League. What about Guy Gardner? And both John Stewart and Hal Jordan are like, no. Well, no, fuck Guy Gardner. And I'm like, it makes sense.
Yep.
Mr. Terrific is my answer. If it wasn't like
Mr. Luther. Terrific.
He's probably like my standout character who was like, God damn, I didn't think like we had him in the Arrowverse. And I thought that character was pretty good, but the way, like just the coolness of this actor, the style, the T-Spears, I'm like, God damn, I didn't think this character could be this cool. Fuck yeah, Mr. Terrific.
Oh, that scene. Yeah, like you said, yep, that you were talking about.
That was the classic James Gunn needle drop scene.
Oh, yeah.
Where he puts up the shield and just starts taking everybody out. Yeah, that was dope.
I'm trying to think, like, who else would be. Like, Lex Luthor, obviously Supergirl we're getting.
Lex Luthor, Legion of Doom would be sweet, too. An evil villain story.
Nicholas Holt with an arc? Huh? Mm-hmm. He learns how to be a better villain.
Hey, that's something that Marvel hasn't done yet. It's like full-on villain movies.
Thunderbolts?
Yep. I don't know if I consider them be villains.
That's a villain movie?
Seen that. Yeah, I still haven't seen it. And I
that's a hero movie.
Yeah.
Thunderbolts?
They're the Avengers, man.
I mean, three of them were like villains.
Were. That's the key word there.
Well, they were still villains in the movie, and they were more or less kind of got thrown in.
Yeah, Mr. Terrific definitely needs his own movie.
I'm trying to think. Like, Hawk Girl wouldn't be bad. I think Isabel Merce would be really good for a Hawk Girl, like, show or movie. I think she could be the lead. But I don't... The character in the movie didn't, like, leave me wanting more. All right, here's one for you guys. Jimmy Olsen.
Second question. Oh, okay.
Jimmy Olsen dating series.
Yes. I'm in. 100%. 10 out of 10.
Like, even if it's just like a mini series, like 3 or 4 episodes of Jimmy Olsen going on dates. First one being with Eve and going and him just running away. I don't know. I think it would be fun. Knows. I don't know. Jimmy Olsen was fun, but we didn't get a whole lot of them.
Not a ton, no.
No. All right. Donald, you're up.
Did you guys catch all the Guardians of the Galaxy cameos?
Yes. Bradley Cooper, yeah. Michael Rooker was one of the voices of the robots. His wife as well, as Alan Tudyk was the main one. He was Gary.
That wasn't my my full question. I just had to ask if you guys caught it because you guys made me go to scribble when you said Jimmy's side thing. But I was like, all the Guardians of the Galaxy things. I thought that was pretty sweet. No, my question is how do you think they get these people grouped together with other superheroes? Like, what do you think the direction is and what's going to be pulling them in? Are we going Darkseid, Lex for the first big villain?
Gods
or what are we
and
thinking
monsters.
Here?
Wait. Who did I make this guess with? It was you, Brandon, right?
Yeah, probably.
It was you. Okay. It's on my thing. I made the guess of who I think the big villain's going to be, who the big villain of Gods and Monsters is going to be. And I'm convinced, and we already said it, it's Legion of Doom. I've been convinced. Like, we've seen a Gorilla God reference in Creatures Commandos. There was a whole bunch of other shit that, like, I remember, like, I put it together, but I can't think of it on the top of my head right now.
Yeah, I remember we came up with, like, a whole theory when we were doing Creature Commandos, but I can't remember what it is either. Because we were talking about the kind of, like, yeah, they kind of prophesize stuff in that show.
Yeah, they prophesied the end of the world with, like, the death of, like, Superman, and it was very Avenger-ish in a sense. Age of Ultron Vision.
Yeah,
that's what I'm getting at.
So you're thinking Legion of Doom. That's it. You don't think, like, they pull Lex in?
It's not Darkseid. It's not Darkseid.
Darkseid, no. Definitely not.
Darkseid would have been my guess if we didn't already have a Darkseid attempt that failed the last franchise.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too. That's why I don't think going Darkseid. That's what I'm thinking it would be. I'm thinking, honestly, I thought before Legion of Doom, it's going to be Lex again.
Well, yeah.
And then Legion of Doom. Yeah. You get before, well, not you're gonna get.
It's like a low key.
I'm thinking
thing.
More about like a longer termed arc of Lex. So you get Lex, and then you get, you know, a different villain, and then if you think like the third one where you see Endgame, I think you're gonna get Lex again.
Okay. Oh yeah, I think Lex is gonna be there. Like, he's like one of those villains who's always just a part. I think Young Justice, like, he's just a part of it. He's a part of the Lights or the
part
Legion
of
Doom.
Yeah.
So I think Lex is going to be a huge part. I don't know if he's going to be, like, the villain, but I think, like, he might be the face.
Yeah, I just don't see Legion of Doom quite yet. I see more of a longer-term scope for Lex to be, you know, the Thanos over it all, of it all.
Well, I'm trying to think, like,
in between, and then you're going to get Lex at the end. again.
I could see Mongol being like an in between because he'd be a Justice League threat.
Person I think about, yeah. Or what's the other guy's name? The guy that's like immortal. Can't remember his name.
Vandal Savage?
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know if they'll do Vandal Savage, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's in Legion of Doom. I'm just trying to think of like all the movies that are coming out. How would this tie into a Legion of Doom sequel? Or like as like the main Justice League events? You have Lex Luthor, Deathstroke, I wouldn't be surprised if made an appearance somehow. Lobo, I wouldn't be surprised if he showed up because he's going to be in Supergirl. I'm trying to think like where else, but we don't really know what's all coming out. Like Supergirl and Clayface are the main two.
Undecided.
And Clayface is one of those like that doesn't come into like the big full picture. But I also just think this isn't going to be Marvel. This isn't going to be like we all come up with a big.
I think that's the biggest thing. I think that they're approaching this a lot more like they did with like the animated movies and stuff like that, where like we're going to get different stories and stuff, and they might kind of be loosely in the same universe, but it's not all going to be like one interconnected timeline between everything.
Well, like this movie already had like those pieces kind of put in. We have Peacemaker appearance. We have Rick Flag.
Bits and pieces, but I don't think it's going to be quite as hard and fast like Marvel tried to do. So I think that's where they shot themselves in the foot so much.
Yeah, especially when the end of the world's at, you know, the world's at stake. And then like, no, but none of the heroes show up. Like, and I'm really happy this wasn't like, this was end of the world, but it's very like short-lived. Like I was like, hey, Metropolis is falling apart, and then like, it's the question isn't like, where's Batman or where's the Green Lanterns? Like we got that answered. It's believable.
Yeah, that's where I was thinking more. You're getting Eclipso first. You know, you're getting the god. Well, I guess God's Wrath or something like that. You're getting God's Wrath as the first villain, or not the first villain, but as the villain. Makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Gods and monsters, you know, maybe I don't know. That'd be fun. It'd be different. You don't have to get like the main story.
All right, Brandon, you're up.
Oh God, more than two questions here.
I have a few. If you want me to tap in,
if there was any like subplots or anything in this movie that you would have removed. Anything in the movie that you didn't like that, like, you feel like it would have just been better to not have it in there?
Ooh. I didn't really hate anything.
These small subplots here.
Yeah, even things that you just think that... Because, I mean, would we all agree that the movie was pretty stuffed?
Yeah.
Like,
it's pretty almost stuffed. Almost so much
to the point where... Like, there's a lot of scenes where people are just, like, obviously dumping lore. Like, no, like as soon as he goes to the Fortress of Solitude and Gary is explaining to the other robot for some reason all about Superman's origin. Like,
well, she was new.
They don't know what's going on.
It was a new robot. Like, Bradley remade.
Yeah, but there was a lot of that.
That kind of stuff I can see getting rid of, like, some of that. But I think it kind of made the movie...
If like something would have been removed, then it could have spaced out more to like do more showing instead of telling what I was getting at.
I think it's hard too because I think it's more for a general audience is my only problem. Like I mean, there's a lot of good subplots in there. Not good subplots, but there's a lot of like exposition in a little bit of ways. But I think getting some general audience bought back into some of this stuff is good that some people didn't know, some kids, all that stuff. You got to do some of that stuff. But the subplot that I thought was a little different that we could have, you know, not really expanded as much needed. Maybe not. Never mind. I can't think of one off the top of my head. That was super
I'll
bad.
Just think of one. I'll state one that I'm questioning that was kind of a question of mine, and we'll answer it because I have a better question. I questioned Crypto a little bit because I like seeing him, but I'm like, he's a huge character that. Like, if you get rid of him, I know it changes some things, but I'm like, I don't think it ruins the whole film.
He did have a bit of a mascot-y role, kind of.
A little bit,
but not extreme,
I enjoyed Crypto, but if, like, you like remove a character, I'm like, that one I might say remove. Hmm. It is a Nepo dog, by the way. Just because it was Genghis Khan's dog. The guy really loves to, like, he really loves to cast his family and his friends. Hmm. And I'm like, he even did it to the dog.
Gotta get him in there somewhere.
It was good. I like the story behind it, though, I'll be honest. Okay, so the crypto thing, you guys are all good for? Like, you were didn't see any issues with them?
I mean, I enjoyed it, but yeah.
I mean, could have given without it, but no, I think I enjoyed it. I think it was going to leave in there. It's good to have the dog. Yeah. I kind of like the idea of it. So
gave me a little crypto. John Wick moment.
Not voiced by Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I have a bunch of questions, but I'm going to leave my last one. What is all the right. best villain choice for a sequel, Superman 2? Who's like the best choice after seeing this movie? And this is kind of a thing that me and Brandon did, the superhero or the villain draft for Superman for a trilogy.
You guys did a villain draft for Superman?
Yeah. I think you got Brainiac. I got to bring it up. I got Bizarro. Bizarro was my first choice.
Mr. Mixel Piddalick and Superboy Prime. Is that four or five? Ooh. I'm missing somebody. Oh, Toyman.
Who did they?
Oh, yeah. He did get Toyman. I think did I get more?
Well, I would say who are they going to next?
I'll stick with my pick. I still want Mr. Middle Pick, Mixel Piddalick, and like the Toy Man, and some of the random like lower level villains, Mr. and Piddalick. Just have him like Superman trying to deal with like his regular crew of rogues while getting screwed with by Mr. Mixel Piddalick.
Lobo Doomsday, something like that.
No, not Doomsday. Doomsday was like 15th on my list. He was like last on my list because I'm like, no, Doomsday is very one note.
I'm sick of seeing Superman die.
That too.
Doesn't have to do it.
I like Brainiac. I wouldn't do General Zod. I like Mongol a little bit. I wouldn't mind Lex again, but I feel like you need somebody else, like another player that needs to be brought in, which is where a General Zod would show up. Brainiac would be great for the Jor-El whole subplot, the idea that they were brought for that, and I'm like, it would be cool if Brainiac was the one who fucked with the message. It makes sense. And he would be a bigger villain that would bring in other things. I want to stick
to Bizarro. Makes the most sense, but
I have a Bizarro movie that I want to pitch to James Gunn because it'd be fucking awesome, and it still fits. And I remember when they did the Mask of Ultraman, I'm like, possibly Bizarro. They didn't say his name.
Flew into a black hole. Mm-hmm. What better way to turn somebody Bizarro into a world? Bizarro version? Yep.
Bizarro world. He does the thing. So yeah, I have a movie and idea that I don't want to say it out loud because I'm like I kind of want to pitch it because it'd be a dope Superman too. Brandon, you've heard bits. Would it not be dope?
Yeah. I like my idea more.
I like Brandon, or I like Mr. Missile Plex. I would be ecstatic, and I think James Gunn would. I wouldn't be surprised if he did it. He is the guy who would do it.
But that I would be fun. It would be a fun movie.
My pitch for Bizarro is that like
a bitch.
You're a bitch.
My pitch for Bizarro. All right, I'm listening.
It surprised me with Supergirl. My pitch for Bizarro is the idea of like it's not necessarily a Superman movie. It's a Bizarro movie, but it's through perspective of Bizarro thinks he's Superman and what that would look like and how the world would turn on you as the movie goes on. So like, it's not Superman 2, it's a Bizarro movie. And that's the gist of it without getting into more detail. But like, I almost want to like write an outline or write like my little screenplay and just send it to him. Like, I don't care. I don't want credit. Just do the movie. Like, it's just too good of an idea. It's right up his alley too. So yeah, it's Bizarro for me. I probably said too much where he couldn't use it without giving me credit or people would have been like, you're already taking so much from every other movie. Might as well. It's a cool idea. I don't know. Like, wouldn't you? I don't know. The idea of like Bizarro just like infiltrating Superman's world and then the whole world being like, why are you so off? Why are you so weird? But Bizarro not getting it and like the audience isn't aware that it's Bizarro and like seeing it slowly unravel would just be, I think that'd be fun. Mm. That's just me though. All right, I got my five questions. Donald, Brandon, what do you got to follow or the finish up?
Finish up as far as questions go. Oh man, I think we pretty much captured everything that I would want to ask. I don't have anything that was on my list that was different. Let me take a look.
Are we going to say that Ultraman's Bizarro?
Question. I mean, it seems pretty likely. That's what's going to happen.
There's no doubt that he's Bizarro.
I have one last one we can end on.
All right.
Who else should join the Justice Gang? We have four members. Who would be a good fifth?
I don't know if I want more people to join the Justice Gang.
No, but that's like, it's the JSA, right? That's how I'm taking it.
Yeah.
So it can't be Justice League members.
They did, I don't know if you noticed, I didn't really notice, but I saw a thing that said in the scenes in the Hall of Justice or whatever, when they're talking, mm-hmm. when Lois is talking to Hal, there's a mural on the back wall that is just all pictures of other heroes that have been in the hall.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, the only one that the person I saw or whatever that could, like, they could make out was, what's his face? The tiger guy, the boxing tiger. Why can't I think of his name?
Oh, Wildcat?
Wildcat, yeah. That was the only one that could
or no, or is Wildcat?
No, it was Wildcat, yeah.
Okay.
From, like, Brave and the Bold. Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there was a previous, like, Justice from the... No, I don't think so. From the... So there was a previous, like, Justice Society in this world, and that was their headquarters, and the Justice Game is the new people taking over kind of thing.
All right. You guys don't have Peacemaker? Was an option that they turned down.
Yeah.
Rat King 2?
I mean, they could do it.
That was Sports Shot? Idris Elba's character? I feel like would be a good hero if he decided Bloodshot. To turn that way. Bloodshot. Is it Bloodshot?
Yeah. Come on, guy.
I'm sorry, man. It's obscure. I know. I should be better with that. He's the one I never read about. But I think Idris Elba would be dope for that group. I think he'd be really good. He'd be better than Peacemaker.
Yeah.
But Peacemaker would be hilarious, but he's doing his own thing. I don't know who else is in that world that would make sense. I'm trying to think.
Well, we just don't know enough characters yet.
True. Or Ice, the comic book character, dates Guy Gardner. Yeah. Oh, wait, no, I have my answer. Mr. Miracle.
Isn't he like an OG member?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Big Bardo, of course. Gotta get her in there as well. I want those two. I want a Mr. Miracle. Like that would be a fun series if they were to do that. If they're gonna do Darkseid, I think it's gonna be through Mr. Miracle. Darkseid is. If you know, you know. And if you know, you probably read Supergirl. Wonder Woman of Tomorrow. Let's talk about it before we get into ratings. Supergirl. How excited are we for Supergirl? Molly Alcock's character is not the traditional good girl Supergirl. She shows up drunk, calls Clark a bitch, does not treat her dog, or does not, not a good dog at all.
Yep. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited now. I don't know what it was, but
I think it gives you a different perspective. Supergirl. Yeah, and I kind of like that idea.
Okay, so I read this comic. This Tom King is excellent. He also wrote Mr. Miracle as well, which is why I said Dark Side is. If you know, you know. Wonder Girl, Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow is a story that starts off with Kara being drunk on a planet celebrating her 21st birthday. So, and she's very edgy. She's very like traumatized from what happened as a child and then growing up on a planet. The story starts with this character, I I forget what her name is, but the main character isn't Supergirl. It's this girl on this planet. Her dad gets murdered. It's a farm girl on this planet. Her dad gets murdered, and she wants revenge. So she goes with the Supergirl. Is like, you are a hero. You're going to help me, and we're going to go across this galaxy so I can kill my father's murderer. And as they're doing this, as they're going across the galaxy, we get all these different like stories. And I remember one issue just being one of the saddest things I've ever read. It was like a 10 out of 10, five plus for a comic. And I'm just excited to see that on TV. And I'm really excited, or in a movie. And I'm really excited that they had this scene. One, because it made sense for Crypto. Made perfect sense. Mm. From a behavior guy, where it's like, why is this dog acting, like, why is this dog, why is this child acting so weird? And then you see the actual parent, and you're like, oh, that makes sense. As they said in the movie. So it was just cool. I'm like, oh, I know what they're teeing up. I know what they're setting up. So I want to know what you guys' thoughts on it. All right. Any final thoughts before we get into rating and our rewards?
Awards? We're not giving them rewards. Anything.
Well,
awards. It was exciting, and I was, you know, I was happy. It was great. I mean, I felt like it was a good kickoff to the DCEU, or whatever you want to call it, the universe.
DCU.
DCU.
Yeah, it is. DCEU is the old one.
The last one. Yeah. Yeah, they dropped the letter. Made it more streamlined.
Yeah.
Made it more friendly to say.
Mm-hmm. Like MCU, DCU.
Mm-hmm. All right, what's our ratings, guys? Who wants to start off?
I mean, I'll start off. I'll give it a 4+.
4+, okay. Donald?
Yeah, I'm solid with that.
Yeah, I did a solid 4. Not quite the 4+, but a solid 4. I mean, you're bringing this in together. You got me excited. I mean, really good. There's subtle flaws, but 4. I can see a 4+, too, but it's solid 4.
I'm in a range because I'm like, one, the 4 is a 4-. I'm like, it's great. It's James Gunn great. It's his typical film. I'm like, I don't think it's elite. I think it misses a little bit. And maybe that's just, I don't know if there's any a first superhero movie other than Into the Spider-Verse that's that 5. I can't think of anything that hits. So for me, I gave it a 4 solid as of right now. Like, it might go minus, it might go plus, depending on how I feel about it the second time I see it. I think that changes a lot. But like right now, I'm like, it's just a great movie. It's a great start. This is exactly what we need for the DCU. I wish it was like a little bit better. I wish I was saying 4+, but I'm like, I can't. There's nothing I can really complain about. Mm. So yeah, 4 solid. And then Brandon gave it a 4+.
Mm.
All right. NBC. Most valuable character. Do we give it to anyone else other than Superman is probably the question.
No.
Okay. That's an easy one. This is why I came up with MVS, because I was like, yeah, no, it's a Superman movie. David Corn Sweat got it down. We need to my next one. MVP, most valuable performer. As in, who's the best actor in this movie? Who killed it the most? This one, I think, is there's competition.
Yeah, I mean, Lex really chewed up the scenes.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, Lex, the scene's great. I will say Green Lantern did a pretty good job for that Green Lantern.
Are you giving it to Nathan Fillion?
I might give it to Nathan Fillion, but I'd say Lex did better. But if I'm not looking at Lex, I'd say Nathan Fillion did a pretty good job playing Green Lantern.
I gave it to David Corenswet. I think he just did the most with the...
No Superman, but guys.
Yeah.
We're going to choose Superman for this one, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I am.
Wait a minute.
Hey,
he sets the stage.
We made a second
Can't be
role.
Superman. Make it so a second role. And he's like, watch this.
This is most
recognize somebody
valuable
else,
performer.
Performer.
This is actor. Okay, different. We're going MVS next. All right, hear me out. Nicholas Holt is awesome. He's my number 2. I almost put him 1. The reason why I didn't put him 1 is I just feel like David Corenswet killed it. Like, I think just I think he just nailed it as an actor. I think he chewed up the most scenes. I think he did the most. Nicholas Holt is my second. I almost gave it to him. Rachel Brosnan is my third because I think she killed it as Lois. She was very believable. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the actor for Mr. Terrific, but I think like he did great in his spot. Nathan Fillion's on my list too for number four. But I had to give it to David Corn. So I just feel like his Superman had an arc where Nicholas Holt didn't. I seen the same note Nicholas Holt. Whereas like I seen multiple notes for David Corn, so it, which is why I give the performance to him. All right, this is where we're getting to the non-Superman award.
Yeah, the one that we already answered.
The MVS, most valuable Superman, and I give it to Superman. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah, Superman.
I'm just fucking with you. All right, most valuable support character. This one I think there's actually between two.
Superman's clone. Right, not quite Superman's kitten.
Yeah, Ultraman.
The way that David Forsythe
was able to just show the blankness Superman in his eyes. Time. Yeah. It's gotta go to Ultraman.
I should put him as the most valuable
sidekick, Jimmy.
Ooh, Jimmy's a good one.
Jimmy was great. I liked the actor.
Jimmy's
Jimmy.
Not on my list, actually.
But I thought they're pretty good. But
I gotta give it to Lois, right?
Mr. Terrific.
I was between Lois and Mr.
Superman,
Terrific.
She literally saved Superman. Like if she wouldn't have done that,
she did.
He would
Which
have
is why she's number one.
Jail. Yeah.
But she wouldn't have done it without Mr. Terrific.
Yeah, she needed help, but they wouldn't have done it if she wouldn't have pushed them to do it.
To be fair, and maybe this is my Adventures of Superman Lois Lane that I'm thinking of. I honestly think if Lois Lane got the information of where he was, she would have saved him.
She would have went anyways.
She would have went anyways, and she would have found a way. Mm-hmm. Rachel Brosnahan did a great job with her. I really enjoyed Lois Lane. I like the My Adventure Soup, like Lois Lane. I like the, I'm going to get dirty. I'm going to go in, and I'm going to do something and actually help Superman out. And this is the Lois Lane that did it. Mr. Terrific's my number two. I almost put him number one because I really love that character. Mm. He's kind of the standout. My number three was Krypto. He honestly has an argument for number one. I'm going to say that it's between three, but we're going to forget Krypto. He was a good boy, man. He did his job. He chased those balls around. he did a good job. All right. This one isn't much competition. Most valuable villain. It's Lex Luthor.
Ultraman.
Yes.
David Corus played a really good clone.
Yeah. Yeah,
like his hair looked great.
He looked just like David Cornsod's Superman. So it was.
I
like
thought he looked
really
like
good.
Bruce Wayne.
You thought so? He had a little bit of Bruce Wayne pulling out.
Well, Robert Pattinson, Bruce Wayne. Have you seen? Did you remember seeing his Bruce Wayne with like the makeup and the eyeliner?
Oh yeah.
And like his hair is super long. It's like, oh man, he's an emo kid.
Yeah. Emo Superman.
No, we don't need emo Superman. That was essentially Henry Cavill Superman. The dude brooded the entire time. It was just like, oh man, I can't save everybody. Now everyone thinks I'm Jesus. I'm gonna stand here as everyone grows out, like touches my chest. I got it. One last question, because I know there's a lot of Snyderverse fans out there. How does this compare to Man of Steel?
I mean.
Does Man of Steel hold up here?
All you need to know is that this one had the iconic Superman theme, and Man of Steel did not. And that's
true.
That tells you all you need to know.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Plus, there's a 93 song playlist on Spotify for each character of what music they listen to. And then they talked about that same playlist throughout the movie. And then the movie alternated between the theme and then the James Gunn music playing. That is a complaint that I had on the movie. The soundtrack was like, what are you guys doing? Are you playing like really cool music, or are you playing the Superman theme? It was like kind of back and forth.
You're saying the Superman theme's not really cool music?
I was gonna say, hold on a minute. I'm confused which one he didn't like.
I liked both, but it was just
every time that Superman theme hit, that was it for me.
I agree. Yeah. It was just I was more complaining about the awesome music that was playing in the background.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I like the change up of the music, but you know, whatever. It's stupid to get hard.
I'm not saying I didn't like it. I did like it. I like James Gunn's use of music.
To it those Zack Snyder universe people out there, like, just let it die. It was terrible. There's a reason why it didn't go anywhere, and there's a reason why he's gone. Like, it was not that good. It's not as good as you guys try to hype up in that Justice League movie. It was trash. Just stop. Stop.
This is what I say.
Love everything. Stop. This is better.
This is what I'm going to say to the Zack Snyder fans, or any fan that's calling Superman woke or any of this. Superman is much more than the power fantasy you want to project onto him. He's way more than that. His whole character, his whole ideology is about being the greatest person you can be. He's not super because he's the strongest character. He's super because he has the power of a god. And he still wants to be the greatest human being like out there.
Frustrated that he can't sometimes, you know?
Yeah. And
they don't understand.
And that's who Superman is. He's a Boy Scout. He's a do-gooder. He's a goody two-shoes. He doesn't swear. Ever. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, I was watching a TikTok, like, man, if I had Superman's powers, I'd be, like, you know, taking out leaders left and right. I'd be forcing my, like, and I see the comments of all these different people. And I'm like, this is why Superman is Superman. Because even with this power, this is not something he would ever do or even think about. The worst he would do is take a leader and be like, I will come back to you as he pokes him with a cactus. That's, like, the worst.
Unless you trick him into killing Lois Lane.
No, Brandon, we're not doing any justice. We're done with that. No more power fantasy Superman. Though that comic in that series is really good, and I did enjoy that ride. No. So yeah, that's my statement. Like,
no, Superman, I think you get a better real, than all of us. Yeah, you get a real Superman here that you like. You can feel like stopping the war. Like, people are about to die. Like that whole scene where it's like they were going. If I didn't do anything, they're dead, and I couldn't let that happen.
I love that, like, frustration from him. Such a good scene.
Yeah, I mean, you got Superman, and it was all the fight scenes were in light. It wasn't dark, lit, gloomed. It was Superman, middle of the day, sun is shining, in light, besides the pocket universe. But that's the only other one. But that really wasn't a fight with anybody. That was them just trying to escape.
It's a pretty colorful world. So,
It was bright. You felt the light. You felt positive. It was good.
Ooh, we didn't talk about Metamorpho at all. I just realized. We didn't talk about the whole baby scene and Metamorpho. All I got to say is Metamorpho looked fucking dope. He looked really interesting. I wasn't surprised that he's in this movie because I'm like, that's a James Gunn character through and through. But yeah, I just wanted to say, like, Anthony Cargan, like, I wouldn't say he was, like, the stand-up performance, but I will say the visual effects of, like, Metamorpho looked dope. And I just, not where I wanted to end this, but yeah, he looked dope. This movie's great. Any last parting words before we say goodbye?
No.
All we know is the most valuable character is Superman, and the second most valuable character is also Superman.
Yeah, that's the leaving note.
All right, good to know, guys.
And the best actor is David Corenswet, who plays Superman, and the best villain is Superman, his clone.
His clone.
Yes. Yeah. And best sidekick character is also Crypto.
The
Super Dog.
Super Dog.
The best cameo port, the best cameo appearance, Supergirl. All right, I'm your host Jake Sherbing, signing off with Meme Don McNuggies. We'll be back for Fantastic Four at some point. Me and Brandon will be back for One Piece as soon as the English dub drops, and then of course all three of us will be back for the bleak Roll for the End once we, I think 2 weeks from now. All right, everybody. Thank you. We're done.